Chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And notice verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bless the time together in your word today. And as we think about this matter of soul winning, I pray that you would help us, Lord, by your grace. Fill us with your spirit that we may be witnesses unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this session is meant to be a review of what I was doing in talking about these different people. So we should be on page 107, and you should be able to help me with the answers, amen? And look at these different interesting characters. And the emphasis on that section was the different people that you will meet, the different situations, and how God used his servants to minister to them and to get involved with them, to begin a conversation and then to share with them the word of God and to seek to bring them to the place of salvation. And so you see all kinds of different individuals there in that section. You saw Nicodemus, the religious ruler. You saw the Samaritan woman, and heard about her boyfriends and the Lord's work in her life. Then we heard of the rich young ruler who never really did receive Christ as his Lord and Saviour. And then you have Jesus and his ministry to Zacchaeus, that tax collector. And then Peter and Simon, the sorcerer. And you have the interesting situation of Philip and the Ethiopian. And he did a run down there to reach this particular fellow. And then Peter and Cornelius, a Gentile, God-fearer. And then Lydia, who also was a God-fearer. And Paul ministered to her and brought her to Christ. And then you have the crisis at the jail at midnight, and the witness there, and the salvation of the jailer. And then you have the Athenians being evangelized, and then the disciples at Ephesus. So you have a number of different characters there, and the Lord was able to minister to them and to do a work with them. And some of them are unusual, some of them are unexpected. And many times that's how it is in soul winning. The person that you thought was ready to win is the person that took the longest, but the other person that seemed disinterested, yet the Spirit of God got a hold of them and changed them. So question number one, list the sinners who were genuine seekers. And now and again you do strike that, the genuine seeker, in question number one, page 107. Who have we got there as genuine seekers? You've certainly got Nicodemus, haven't you? Amen? Amen? I need to hear an amen now and again. Make sure that it's early in the morning, isn't it? Okay, and then you have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. A genuine seeker. Was the rich young ruler a genuine seeker? I think he had questions, but the genuineness was not there. Who's the next one that you think of He was a genuine seeker. Yes, definitely the Ethiopian was seeking the truth. And what about Cornelius? Yes. And how about Lydia? Yes, so these people, occasionally you do find that, people that are seekers, people that have questions where you can minister to them and do a work with them. Be careful of the time wasters who will lead you astray in their argument and have different motivations for what they're saying. Okay, number two, lest the seeking sinners approached, who approached the soul winner. And what have we got there? Nicodemus, yes. Who else have we got? They approached the soul winner. It's not many, are there? Cornelius that approached the soul winner, yep. So you have Zacchaeus, yes. And yes, I think so. The jailer approached the soul winner. I suppose, yes, eventually. And the jail's falling down around his ears. It takes a bit to move some people, amen? That's right. Okay, number three then. Question number three. List the sinners who sought out, who were sought out by a soul winner. Yes. The Ethiopian was sought out by a soul winner. What about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well? She was sought out by the soul winner. Zacchaeus, Lord came and spoke to him at the tree and blew his mind when he said, "I'm coming home to your place." What a shock. And what a wonderful salvation. Number four then, list the sinners who were moral and religious in their character. Well, you'd have to say Nicodemus was that, ruler of the Pharisees, very religious man. Who else have we got there? Yes, moral and religious. "All these have I kept," he said. Boy. Yes, well, maybe that was his first sin. Didn't quite tell the truth. But no, there are people that are very particular in the way they live.
The Samaritan woman was religious in some sense, certainly not moral.
Yes, so yes, she was indeed. So you've got Cornelius. He was quite a good man, well known in the community for his good things that he had done. Lydia certainly was known in the community and seemed to be somewhat of a leader among the women there. Okay, so then we go on to number five, list the sinners who were outcasts of their society. The woman at the well was certainly that, wasn't she? What about Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Nobody likes the tax collector. And the jailer, he was certainly on the out of society, locking up people. Any one of the others that you got in that one? Any others that come to mind? Yes? Yes, I thought I mentioned him. Yes, the jailer, certainly. Jailers are unusual people. And I know a lot of crims don't like them. Yeah, so you've got many examples of different ones that are outcasts in their social realm, and yet the Lord took time with them. And I'm thankful that he did. Name the sinners who thought they were something that there was something they needed to do in order to be saved. What must I do? Nicodemus? Any others? Come on, help me out. Yes, what must I do? And the jailer said the same thing. That's the common thing out there in every man's theology, is what must I do? Doing. They think that you can earn your way by your works. And that is a real problem, isn't it? So this is the sinners who were irreligious. The jailer. What about Simon Magus? Simon was irreligious, but satanic, really, wasn't he? And incredible. And then the Athenians. What about the Athenians? Many of them who did not believe. Any others that were mentioned? Most of them were illustrations of soul winning. So there we are. Okay, list the various evidences of true salvation from the examples studied. There's a whole number of them, aren't there? Samaritan woman? Yes, she went witnessing straight away. Isn't that incredible? And the people she witnessed to, the men in the city, they couldn't believe it. So they had to go and see who this man was that had exposed her sin. Yes. Zacchaeus, yes, he made restitution. You don't hear of that very often, do you? Going and setting things right financially and paying back that which is taken by fraud. So you have this man who was repentant, whose life was completely changed, and his outlook on money completely transformed, wasn't it? What about the jailer? There's quite a bit in the notes about the jailer. Page 98, I think it is. He became a kinder man. Previous, he just was throwing them in jail. This time he's helping someone to get out. Amen? What a transformation. And he was caring and brought some medical attention. Yes, tremendous hospitality to the man of God. And then to the people of God, she had the meeting in her home and with great support and encouragement to the man of God. Yes, he wanted to follow the Lord in obedience. That's a great testimony, isn't it? The desire to obey the Lord and to do what the Lord has said. So with Zacchaeus, there's repentance there, and you see that in their lives and how the Lord changed them. So there are many other things could be said on that answer. Number 10, this is the illustrations taken from the natural world that Jesus used when he was dealing with sinners. And we can learn from that as well, Dr. Seth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. And so it is, a new birth is a work of the Spirit of God, the wind of God's Spirit. What else? Water, yes, the water. And I know it wasn't one of the illustrations in the lessons, but the bread, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And then, of course, the second birth, the need of birth, which really floored Nicodemus. He couldn't work that out, what that was. And, of course, the Lord was talking about a spiritual birth, the need to be born again. Well, number 11, the Old Testament passages that were used as soul-winning examples in what we study. So what have you got there? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, yes. The slain lamb for the Ethiopian. Who is this spoken of? What about Nicodemus, the serpent in the wilderness? And that was a great illustration. And the Lord challenged Nicodemus and said that you should know that, Nicodemus. You should know about that. There are many things that we should know that we don't know. Amen. Anyway, any others? Can you think of any others that came forward? Yes, at the back. Which was? Right. Yes, I'm not sure what you are alluding to there. Page 102. Right. Which is about what? It's a scripture that was used as well. Okay, Old Testament scriptures can be used and they're valuable with the Jews, aren't they? To show them the truths of the Old Testament. And my friend Michael says there's more about the Babylonians, there's more about the Persians in the Bible than most people realise. So he uses that with Pope. But there you can have Old Testament things. Number 12. List the various ways in which the soul winners were personally inconvenienced in order to deal with a sinner. And I'm sure that their heart being right with the Lord, they didn't feel it was an inconvenience, but there were people that were willing to go out of their way. Okay. So, what have you got for these? Philip, yes. He did a runner down to Gaza. Pretty quick runner too. Okay. What about the roadside trip extended to Sychar, the woman at the well? That was a bit of an effort to get there on a hot day, a hot and dry day, but what an opportunity to ask for a drink of water. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. A lot of people are willing to talk about spiritual things at night. But I think you should put a curfew on that, because after about 10 o'clock, nobody really gets very emotional and all the rest of it. So I think you need to be careful about that one. But yes, we need to be willing to suffer some inconvenience in order to go to people. What about the midnight crisis in the jail? Would you have felt very much in the soul-winning mood? Amen? Paul and Silas, they were singing praises to the Lord and they were ready for whatever contingency. And praise God for that, even though they're very uncomfortable and inconvenienced by the way they were treated very wrongly. Okay, number 13, list the personal evangelism encounters where soul winners began with a question. Well, the Ethiopian comes to mind straight away. Understandest what thou readest. Amen. That was a good one. Okay. Others? Let's hear it. You're allowed to call out. Any others? I think when the Lord asked the woman for water, that was a question, wasn't it? Amen, yeah. And then, you know, the other question, call thy husband. That was a hot potato. But he was willing to go there and to expose this woman's sin. Many modern soul winners wouldn't recommend it, but people need to face the reality of what's going on in their life. I think another one, which is a little bit indirect, is who is the unknown God? And then Paul's preaching to them about the he's really challenging them to answer this thing. They couldn't answer it, so he said, well, I know who that is, and preached Christ. Any others? The questioning method is a good method to use. It's a very good method to use with people to get them on track and to get a conversation rolling. Yes, questions. Okay, number 14. List the personal evangelism encounters where soul winners had to overcome their own prejudices. What have you got? Samaritan woman, yes. wasn't normal for a gentleman to speak to a woman, especially of that kind. Amen. So the Lord overcame that. And also she was of the Samaritan race that didn't have anything to do with Jews, and Jews didn't have anything to do with them. So there was some race problem to overcome there. What about Peter and Cornelius? What was the situation with Cornelius? Yeah, and he was what? A Gentile. Yes. Whew. What about the tax man? Everybody said, "You're talking about that sinner." Yes. And the sinner got saved, and people benefited financially because his life was changed. So what about the Ethiopian? You've got race and colour there that were overcome by the soul winner. Has to tell him about Christ. And so there are times when we need to check. The reason why we're responding in a certain way is that the bit of racism coming through, what's happening there, you know? So we need to check ourselves on that regard. And sometimes we might even be using a bit of humour about the situations and people, but underneath it all, we've got some personal prejudices right there. Okay, so we need to overcome them for the sake of Christ, and we need to look at the needs of every man. We are to tell every creature. Okay, and that word creature is appropriate because some of them, that's what they look like, amen? When you first meet them, you think, what is this creature, as it were, you know? But God is able to transform people and to change them. All right, I think we might jump into question number 15 now. All right, 15. There, this the encounters where the sinner was baptized after they believed. And got the Philippian jailer there, wasn't he, and his household who trusted Christ, they were saved. The Ethiopian, here's some water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he was enthusiastic about that. And then his testimony had to be checked, didn't it? And he testified to Christ, as he's saying, with the disciples at Ephesus as well. And they were baptized after they were saved. And there was some re-baptizing going on there. Yes, brother?
Cornelius was baptized.
Yes, Cornelius. Certainly. So, and Lydia as well. And a household. So that's wonderful, isn't it, to see these people who automatically and immediately want to follow the Lord in obedience. There was a guy that I was trying to lead to the Lord over a number of years, and he finally got saved. And the first time I met up with him to do some discipleship, he said, flew me away. He said, "Now, how much is the tithe? Is that the net or the..." I've got to work this tithe out and think, what? This guy's just gotten saved. He wants to work out the tithe. And the first follow-up time, you know. So that was good as well. And that man had a desire to be obedient to the Lord in other ways as well. Okay, any others we missed? Nope. All right. Okay, number 16. This the encounters where the word believe. Okay, and you get it started off pretty quickly there with Nicodemus. And John 3:16, don't overlook that in soul winning. You think everybody knows it, but a lot of folk today never heard of such a thing. But whosoever believeth in him, whosoever. And, of course, John's Gospel, though we didn't look at all of the examples, I mean, I looked it up in the Concordance, and again, I was amazed how many times the word believe is used in John's Gospel. Either telling people they need to believe or else stating that people did believe. Faith is so important, isn't it, for salvation? By grace are you saved through faith. Well, that's more than obvious, isn't it? So the jailer, the woman at the well, and Jesus said to her, you need to believe that I am He, the Messiah. Amazing, wasn't it? An amazing disclosure early in His ministry in a public way. She said, I know that Messiah is going to come. And He says, well, I'm Him. Oh, that blew her mind, along with Him telling her her mind as well. Yes. I mean, we can open this up. There are so many examples, aren't there? Believe on the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word repent. The word repent is not found as many times as some modern Christians and soul winners think, but the word repent refers to a change of thinking and a turning to the Lord Jesus, turning from everything else. So it is important. Except you repent, said Jesus, you shall all likewise perish. So the concept of repentance needs to be spoken to sinners. And in Athens, Paul challenged them about their need in Acts 17:30, their need of repentance. So the Ephesians also, and I know it's outside the lessons, but the Thessalonians were challenged about the need to repent. And Paul, before Agrippa, said to him that they needed to do the repent. The requirement of the Gentiles to repent and do the works meet for repentance. Simon the sorcerer, although he didn't do it, was challenged to repent, and he refused to repent. So repentance is taught throughout the Scriptures, and we need to explain to people what that means. The word is not used much in modern society, so we need to explain what that means, that people would realise that they don't take their sins with them into their Christian philosophy. Okay, number 18. Name the incidents where the methods were used, the methods outlined in the lessons were used. What was the method outline? What were the ingredients in the method outline? Number one, there was sowing the seed of the Word of God. Number two, there was hearing. Amen? Are you with me? Yes, there was hearing. And then there was conviction, the Spirit of God bringing conviction in people's lives. And them turning to Christ. Then repentance and faith is the next one, and regeneration. So we need to think of these ingredients with soul winning. There's got to be the sowing of the Word of God. There's got to be the hearing of the voice of the Spirit in people's lives, and the conviction, and then repentance and faith. So we see these things outlined in different people's lives. Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus, Simon, the Ethiopian, Cornelius, Lydia, the jailer, the Athenians, and the Ephesians, the Ephesian men. So these are the normal steps, aren't they, to bringing a soul to Christ. Sowing the Word of God, giving them the Word, asking them to read the Word, giving them a tract or some piece of literature so they begin to read and understand more of the Word of God and the life of who Christ is. A hearing, conviction of the Spirit. This needs to be there. Some people very flippantly give the Romans Road and very flippantly give the sinner's prayer. Just pray this and you'll be right, mate. You know, let's get this over and done with so we can go and have a coffee. It's the attitude, isn't it? And there was a certain evangelist that moved around Australia, an Aussie evangelist, and he had a big tent. And they advertised on the tent, Munchies was down there on Beach Road, Munchies. And people thought, oh, there's a pop-up restaurant or something, Munchies. So in the invitation time, people were asked, come forward and have a talk, and then we'll have Munchies. That was how the invitation went. So, of course, this lady was telling me, I said, well, what did you, this unsaved lady, it's a bit of a character. I said, well, what did you do? Oh, I went for the Munchies. I'm after any freebies I can get my hands on. A good coffee and a talk about nothing. I said, but did you get saved? No. So, you know, we need to use the biblical methods, don't we, and work with people properly. And invitations need to be given in all seriousness and opportunities also for immediate counselling and follow-up. Okay, so there are important aspects that we learnt throughout those lessons that are pretty important for us all as we seek to win souls. Number 19, list the encounters where salvation of the main character was accompanied by the salvation of the family. The jailer is obvious. Lydia, Cornelius. And it's amazing how this can work, how this can happen. Somebody, the father of the family or mother, is convicted about things of the Lord. Yes. We're talking here about, in particular, the household. But, yeah, I'm sure that those associated with her would soon have heard. But we don't have any record of their response, do we? But these people responded in their household. So I think, too, that we should be careful of thinking this is automatic. This is automatic. Well, you've trusted the Lord, so will they. They need to be in the condition and situation themselves where they need to get saved. To think of a young lady that even wanted to be baptized. She responded in a similar way to what her parents was and even wanted to be baptized, but there was very little evidence of a changed life. So I said to her, look, and the parents, I said, I think we need to wait on the Lord in this case. And there needs to be some time of waiting on God to make sure that this is a real experience. Well, in the meantime, the young lady, the real experience came through and her life was different. And she went ahead and was baptized. And in the last few years, she wrote us a letter from the USA. She's married to a youth pastor. He's now pastoring a church. And she wrote a letter and thanked me for taking that stand and going that way, because she's realized in working with young people how you need to make sure that their salvation experience is real. And it's not just taken for granted. So there are practical reasons why people want the whole family to be baptized. And sometimes there's a bit of pride coming in there. So we need to examine and make sure there is time for people to truly repent and be ready for that. The other reason why sometimes families are baptized is the theological idea of covenant baptism, which has to do with Calvinism and Reformed theology. And they think that because the parent is elect, so is the family. And that is also a wrong philosophy. Whosoever will may come, except you repent. ye shall all likewise. So it doesn't matter family member it is, they need each one to turn to the Lord, and it needs to be a personal and real experience. But it's wonderful to see this happen. And sometimes I've said to the person, the keenest person can be the oftentimes the wife. She's keen to move ahead and motivated spiritually. And there have been many times I've said, no, I think you need to wait, because God doesn't want you to be the spiritual leader of your home. God wants your husband to be the spiritual leader of your home, and you need to wait on the Lord in this case, in order to make sure and to win the husband and then family members to Christ. And so I've seen that happen, where they've waited and then the rest of the family has come through for the Lord. And then, of course, what a grand time it is to see a family baptized. Again, it doesn't happen all that often, but it's exciting when it does, amen. And God is working in a family, and people can see that God is at work. Yes, even in the children, God is at work there, and their lives transformed by the gospel. Okay, number 20, how many sinners were instructed to pray a prayer in order to be saved? How many do you get on this one? You get anybody? I'm the winner. I'm the winner. Because I get the Philippian jailer. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then? Am I right? I didn't want to really be the winner, but you know. That makes us think, doesn't it? About Again, we need to be careful of the easy believism, the easy prayerism, some call it. We need to make sure that the person is praying sincerely. And it's great if they can pray in their own words, but I think there's a danger in sending them to home to pray alone in the bedroom before they pillow their head. What if they get hit by a truck on their way home? That happens. Because I followed up people and said, well, what did you pray? Well, I prayed the Lord would heal me. I prayed that he'd heal my grandmother. I prayed that he would heal uncle such and such. And I said, but what about salvation? What did you pray? Another fellow told me, he said, well, I said, well, are you saved? He said, I don't know. I said, well, what happened? He said, I went to this meeting, this charismatic meeting, and it was very loud and noisy, and it was high pressure. And somebody, I realized my need as a sinner, and I was seeking help and salvation. Said, and I went forward, and this big guy, he gave me this high-powered, like, karate chop that kind of didn't chop, if you know what I mean. The power that this guy mustered. Boom! You're saved! I said, well, what happened to you? He said, nothing. Practically fell down flat, but he said, nothing happened. And I said, well, did people follow you up to share with you the message and to outline the gospel and to show you what you needed to do to call on the Lord? And he said, no. So went over the gospel again with him in his lounge room. Can remember it as clear as a bell. We sat there, and then I got to the point of outlining his need to receive the Lord, and something outlined somewhat of a prayer there. And the guy really shocked me. He fell on his knees on the coffee table and cried out to the Lord. And I went, wow, this is much better than that high-powered guy. No, it was demonic, that was, because he said those hands didn't hardly even hit me, but a power overcame me. And he said, I fell flat on the floor. So, again, Though it's important, I think, to outline to people what is needed to be done. And then, of course, they need to make it their own prayer and to receive the Lord as Saviour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we've been thinking about some of these things and practical illustrations here. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in our daily realm to be sowers of the Word of God and, Lord, to follow the biblical pattern, Lord. And we pray for people to be convicted of their sins and their need, respond to the Word of God in the depths of their heart that they might repent and be saved. Lord, bless our day and the preaching of your word and all that we will do today. We pray, Lord, that we would bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.